firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord.
Welcome aboard the Bible Bus as we journey through giant country today on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will introduce us to two very exceptional men as we're in the beginning chapters of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Now, when everyone else turned their backs on God and refused to believe what he had promised, Caleb and Joshua trusted God, even in giant country. And you know what? God preserved their lives. Even when everyone else over 20 years old died in the wilderness journey, they got to see God's promise fulfilled. They were blessed by God for their faith. You know, there are some great lessons to be learned today in Deuteronomy. So as you turn in your Bible to chapter 1, verse 36, let's welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris to the studio. Greg, you know, we can learn a lot of lessons for our lives today in Deuteronomy about God's faithfulness, but also we're learning a lot as we reflect on God's faithfulness to Through the Bible over the last 50 years. Isn't that right?
It is, Steve. In 2017, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Through the Bible radio ministry. And, you know, God has been faithful to many ministries. We're not the only ministry on the planet, and we're glad that his word is going out through so many ministries. But there are some really unique dynamics in our ministry, and God has just blessed us in such wonderful ways. We want to make sure we just stop and thank him for that. And earlier in the month, we were talking, you had me in the studio, and we talked about some of the people and the groups of people that are a blessing to this ministry.
Yes.
And hopefully we can highlight that again today.
One of the groups that I think about is our North American radio stations. I think of just a few of the station names or networks in this case, like Salem and Bott, BBN and Crawford and KHCB and Blount and Mortenson and so many others. And those that have share-a-thons that are simply supported by the listeners in those areas where we don't pay other than maybe just a one-time gift to them annually.
And Steve, in addition to all of the great networks you named, there are a lot of individually owned or smaller networks that we don't have time to name because we're on over 1,000 stations. But I've had the privilege in my ministry career of traveling to a lot of these stations. And, you know, the people that work there are just faithful and diligent, and they so often tell us how much they love the ministry of Through the Bible. So we really are grateful for those radio stations.
Yeah, another group is our international ministry networks. I mean, we could not do what we do internationally without really, among others, two key partners. Transworld Radio is number one, and now playing an increasing role, FEBC, Far East Broadcasting Company.
And we work with other networks, not a lot. Actually, most of our work is done through those two ministries, but a couple of other networks. And you're absolutely right, Steve. We literally could not carry out our global ministry without these networks. So they are vitally important. And just like the radio station people here in North America, I've met many of these people around the world, and they love Dr. McGee, and they count it a privilege to help spread the word of God through the ministry of Through
Absolutely.
The Bible.
Absolutely. And then the individual producers that take the language from, you know, and Dr. McGee's scripts and then translate it and contextualize it so that their own people can understand the word of God.
Yeah, and probably more than 20, 25 years ago, that was part of what I did when I served with Transworld Radio.
Absolutely.
Travel around the world, and I would train these folks.
Right, and with the producer's manual and get all that done.
And some of these people have come back and said, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life is take Dr. McGee's material and give it to my people.
Yeah. I also think about our international listeners, those that get the fruit of the work of the producers and everybody up the food chain, if you will, that have put that in place.
Yes. And you know, those listeners, often, I like to emphasize this, Steve, they pray for us. How often do you and I read letters where they say, we're praying that this ministry will spread to the whole world? So they really are partners with us in this global enterprise.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And then finally, I think about our board of directors and
of which
the staff.
You are a member.
That's true. So the board and the staff here in Pasadena that work so hard. And we have how many staff members now?
Just about a dozen. Yeah. It's amazing. And without all these other partners, we could never have such
Absolutely.
A small staff.
Yeah. So, Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open our study today?
Father, you have done something wonderful and beautiful and amazing in putting together this global ministry called Through the Bible. We pray that you would continue to bless it, provide for it, help it to go where you want it to go. And now we pray that as we open your word, you'd bless our hearts and transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, here in the first four chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, we see that our Lord is reviewing the journeys for these people. That is, Moses, his leader, is going over the journeys, as it were, and interpreting a great deal of what has taken place. We saw that Moses had made a big mistake in asking for help, and there was given to him what became later the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders, which I think was very unfortunate, because those are the men that met that put Christ to death, by the way. And then the second big mistake was made by the people when they wanted a board also to go in and investigate the land, which meant that they did not believe God. God said it was a good land. God said he'd put them in that. The spies went in and came out and says, it is a good land. And of course it was. God said it was. But they said there are giants in the land. God said, I'll be able to take care of the giants for you, and I'll enable you to take care of them. And many times the Christian today finds himself confronted by giants in this life. And I'm sure that as a child of God, you've had that experience of finding yourself in giant country. And believe me, it's difficult to know how to handle a giant, especially when most of us are pygmies. Well, God has told us that he's able to handle them for us. It's wonderful to know that. It's not our circumstances outside that's really our problem. It's the circumstances inside of us that's causing our problem. Well, we did leave off last time at verse 36, and here we find that God has made it clear to them that the generation that came up to Kadesh Barnea and turned back in unbelief, that generation, their bones are bleaching out there on the desert right at that moment, and a new generation has come up. Now, God is reviewing the journeys to let them know something of the experience that their fathers had, and they might profit from that experience. And he's also preparing them to enter into the land. Now, all that generation died with the exception of two men. One was Caleb, and the other was Joshua. Now, let me read verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Now, here is a man that was different from the others. He obeyed God. He was one of the spies, and he brought back a good report, an accurate report. Fact of the matter is, he laid hold of the land that he wanted. And you'll find a little later, when we get to the book of Joshua, we're going to get acquainted with Caleb. He's a remarkable man. This man, he walked up and down a certain part of the land, and he says, this is what I want. By the way, what do you want of God, friends? Many of you are parents. Many of you are young folks starting out in life. What do you want of God? Well, let me say this. If you think you can sit on the sidelines and get it, I want to say you're wrong. Now, I know today that there are a great many folks say, well, if you just pray and pray, fine. I won't agree with that. You must pray. You must have fellowship with him. But my friend, you're going to have to go out there and take it. Did you know that? This man, he said he's trodden upon it. He says, I'll give him the land that he's trodden upon. And a great many of us today are not being blessed simply because we're spending too much time, not on our knees, too much time sitting down. And that's the wrong place to be. If you're going to get the blessing of God, we are to walk. There's a great deal said about the Christian's walk, and there's very little said about the Christian sitting down. And therefore, we need to lay hold of it. What do you want of God? Caleb, he's coming up later, and what a tremendous example he is to us. Now, verse 37, and the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now, this man Joshua is to be the leader to succeed Moses. And why was he chosen? Well, he's a man that's had experience. And he's a man that has wholly followed God. He's one of the two spies. He and Caleb brought back the good report. In other words, they believed God. That was the important thing. That was the essential thing, to believe God and then to step out on faith. You don't believe God, friends, by just sitting down and claiming great blessings. You have to move out for him. Now will you notice verse 39? He says, moreover, your little ones, and friends, don't miss this. This is so important. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Now, here is an example of two things. One is the age of responsibility we're going to find is much older than we think it is. That'll come up a little later. But because these folk here that entered the land, some of them were teenagers, by the way, as we shall see. And then there's something else to note here. Children who die in infancy are saved. How do I know? Well, here were these that hadn't reached the age of accountability, and God didn't hold them responsible when their elders refused to enter the land. He permitted these to enter the land. That generation that said, oh, we don't want to enter the land, we're thinking of our children. You remember that God made it very clear to them that that wasn't the reason. They were insulting God. They were really saying, God doesn't care for our children. Now, God says, I do care for your children, and those little ones that you thought would be in danger, they're going now, they're going to enter the land, and they're going to come into the land, and here they are, and they're ready to enter the land now. Now, will you notice, and I must drop down to verse 42, for we're hitting the high points now. In verse 42, I read, and the Lord said unto me, that is, unto Moses, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. Now you will recall that when the children of Israel came to Kadesh, they refused to enter in. Then when they turned back to go into that wilderness, they were met by an enemy. And not only met by an enemy, but that frightful wilderness, and as we saw last time, Moses says that great and terrible wilderness, it frightened them. Now they say, oh, we'll fight now and we'll go in. May I say to you, this type of fighting is no good. You know why? Because they're out of the will of God. And the reason now is not because they believe God. It's because they're afraid. It's for fear of the wilderness. In other words, that's the thing that's motivating them, not faith in God. Now will you notice verse 42, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. Now that's not faith, you see. If they'd gone up at the beginning, because they believed God, that was one thing. But now they are going up presumptuously, and that's different. And there is, I think, sometimes a very fine distinction between faith and presumption. I know that in the course of my ministry, I've talked to so many people, counsel with them, and some man will say, you know, Brother McGee, I believed God, and I thought he'd bless my business, and I went into this business believing he would bless me, and he didn't. In fact, one man told me I went bankrupt. Well, was it faith in God or presumption? And when we got down to the nitty-gritty, this man went to hear another man speak at a banquet who'd been very successful in business. In fact, his motto was, God is my partner. And he told about how he took God into partnership and how God blessed him. Now, God led that man. I'm confident of that. But he didn't lead this man. This man presumptuously went home and said, well, if God will make me prosperous, I'm going to take him in as partner. And God didn't lead him, you see. And he went bankrupt. Believe me, friends, there's a difference between faith and presumptuous. Now, these people presumptuously do that. Now, will you notice, and the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even to Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Oh, they came before the Lord, and they just shed crocodile tears. Oh, they wept, and they repented. Yes, but friends, what kind of repentance was this? Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. You bet they're weeping. Are they weeping because they've disobeyed God? No, they're weeping because the Amorites have chased them. That's the reason they're weeping. You know, the thief was caught, and he began to weep and shed tears and repent. But wait a minute. What kind of tears were they and what kind of repentance? He did not weep because he was a thief. He wept because he'd been caught. There's a lot of difference, friends, in that. And that's the case of these people. Verse 46, so ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. They apparently spent a great deal of time at Kadesh, and that just comes out here. Now in chapter 2, he continues this discourse of reviewing the journeys. Now, you will recall when they left there, they came to Mount Seir, and in verse 3, I think the Lord has a sense of humor, and this must be it. He says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. See, they don't know where to go. And all they've done is just go around and around Mount Seir. It's sort of like ring around the roses. They're having a nice children's game. Round and round they go. God says, I'm tired of that. Let's quit this round and round business. Great man, Christians are doing that today, are they not? Now, this is a great chapter. This great chapter here teaches us something that I think that's very important, friends, and that is this. These people were told, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. This is a marvelous statement, by the way. Now, you will recall that God had said to Esau, and Esau became Edom, God said that when he went out from the home of Isaac and Rebekah, that God said, I've given you this land, and God gave to Esau a certain land that's down there where the rock-hewn city of Petra is. God says, that's your possession. God respected that, and he said to his own people, you can't touch that or have that. There's a lesson here for nations, by the way. God has set the bounds of nations. Most wars are fought because that's not respected at all. And then there's another great lesson for us here, and that is God will always make good his promises. Even to a people like this, God made good his promises. Now, in verse 7, God goes over their ground. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. God says, I knew the troubles and trials that you had. I was with you. These 40 years, the Lord thy God hath been with thee. What a wonderful thing. Thou hast lacked nothing. And old David could look back over his life and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he'd never wanted. Thou hast lacked nothing. That is what? Not the luxuries of life, but God always provides the necessities of life, and that is true for you and for me also. Then we have here the statement made, and I'm dropping down now to verse 24, "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle." Friends, there are a great many things that come to us as the fruits of the Spirit, but there are a great many things that you have to contend for. And here is a great principle of possession for them. And remember, he's just told them, "And the Ammonites call them Zamzumims." That's back in verse 20. And who were they? They were the giants. And I don't have time today to talk about it, but have you ever stopped to think where those giants came from? You still see that in the human family. Every now and then they'll sprout up some individual, go 7, 8 feet tall. And they had some big boys in that day, by the way. And you find out here that this is a great principle of their possession. Now, they were afraid to enter the land because there were giants in the land. Now, here they are to take up the land of the Amorites. Now, the Amorites were on the east side of Jordan, and there were giants among them also. Now, they are to take their land because God has given them that land, and they are to take it by battle, and they are to see that God is with them and that he will enable them to overcome the giants. This is to prepare them to enter the land. You know, the Lord does that for many of us today. He permits us to have a certain experience, maybe a difficult one, maybe a sad one, that will prepare us for life or prepare us to be helpful to others, you see. God permits that to come to pass. Now I'm going to take a giant leap myself here and go over into the third chapter, because it's not my intention to go over this wilderness wandering. And you'll find more of it here than you found in Numbers, even where the log was given. But along the way, there were certain great lessons that they were to learn. And the ones that we want to point out, we will point out, and we're going to get to them when we get to chapter 4. But here in chapter 3, only one thing I'd like to call your attention to. It says here, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man." Now, here's a bed of this man. Will you notice what it says? That it was 9 cubits. Now, if a cubit is 18 inches, this means this was about 13 and a half feet long. Now, we think today that the king-size bed is something new. Well, it's not. Here is really a king-size bed, friends. Now we come to chapter 4, and we'll be in this chapter when we leave off today, but this is a very rich chapter filled with a great deal of meat for you and me, and I trust it's going to be a blessing to us here. Now, they were to hearken unto God's word and do it. Listen to this in verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give you." They were to do the word of God, not only to hear it, but to do it. Then will you notice that? "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Now, they're not to add to the law. They're not to take away from the law. They are to do it. Now, will you listen to this? This is something I think that is tremendous. Oh, if Israel had only kept the law, what a blessing. But my friend, they are a demonstration in history of a people who were given the law under favorable circumstances and could not keep it. because by the law shall no flesh be justified before him. Why? Because God's arbitrary? No, because the flesh is radically wrong. That's its problem. And we're going to see as we get into this chapter here next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, this is great instruction that we're getting in Deuteronomy. And you know, it all points to the wonderful work that the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross. You know, that's one of the benefits that we get from studying the whole Word of God. We get to see the themes of Scripture repeat themselves in both the Old and New Testaments. And today's theme, among others, is the beautiful grace of God extended to all those who call on His name. There's more to come tomorrow, and I know I look forward to your company on the Bible Bus. So why don't you invite someone to join us at ttb.org? You never know how God wants to use you to bless them. See you then.
To be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.